Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Amy Dash is coming up. Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports Radio, CBS legal analyst coming up in 25 minutes. Has all the latest on the crazy Tiger Woods situation. What's going on with Deshaun Watson? Amy Dash is a must listen. I always feel smarter after listening to her. These are two of the biggest stories happening right now, and she has a great, fresh perspective on it, including exactly why detectives won't reveal the cause of Tiger Woods' crash, and it's something that you're going to make you go, oh, I completely get that, because it's been a mystery all day. Why has this happened? She has all the answers for us. So while we've been hot and heavy on the Francisco Lindor contract, he is now officially a Met for the next 10 years, $341 million. Mets.
Is this a two ice cream night now or what?
Oh, I had ice cream during the day. I'm going to get ice cream after the show. I am completely going to I'm going to Pavilions before it closes, and I'm getting ice cream. They should name a flavor after Francisco Lindor. They should name it the Lindor truffle flavor. Boom. Oh my God, I got to patent that, because Lindor already has chocolate truffles. Lindor calls Ben and Jerry's. Boom, the Lindor flavor. Oh, that's it right there.
But that's okay.
Huh? Yeah.
It's Lindt truffles, but yeah.
No, it's Lindor truffles. No, it's Lindor. Hang on. Lindor truffles. Yeah, Lindor truffles. Dude, right there. Boom. Lindor truffles. Lindor chocolate truffles. I'm looking at them right now.
Yeah, the company is Lindt. Sorry.
Right, but rich, melty flavor. Look, it says rich, melty flavor. Lindor chocolate.
Well, it just shows you what's going to happen to this investment. Good. It's going to melt away right down the drain. Evaporated, baby.
Wow. And I was thinking we could monetize this and have something fungible with Lindor chocolates and making money. Like, you get a chocolate, you open it up, and you get a highlight.
Oh,
what
I
if
like
that's
that.
The, what if
a little
that's
NFT.
It?
Yeah,
yes,
I mean,
you
get an NFT. It will expand beyond Top Shot, no question.
Yeah,
you get pretty soon you're going to be able to get the Thanos snap in a limited form. I mean, there's going to be so much. Your head's going to be spinning. Still not a jock strap, though.
Look, we've talked about that a lot. We'll have more on that coming up. Our big MLB predictions as well, coming up with opening day tomorrow. But a crazy story going on right now, because one of the most overcovered stories in sports has been the addition of Andre Drummond to the Lakers, right? He went from a guy who was, hey, you know, Andre Drummond's going to bring some interest in the trade market or buyout market too. Hey, Andre Drummond's going to be a big player to the buyout market too. Andre Drummond is going to save the Lakers. He's going to be the guy to come and save the team. I don't really care about his intangibles. I don't really care about his shot selection. He's a 17-13 guy, and I love the fact the Lakers went out to get him. This guy is an all-star player. Didn't really help the Lakers tonight as they fell to the Bucks 112-97. But there's a reason for that. He started the game, but he only played 14 minutes, leaving the game with some kind of foot injury. And it could potentially have a lot to do with the sneakers that he was wearing. It was really weird. He went through a couple of different pairs of sneakers before he didn't come back into the game. All right, now this is Dave McMenamin, who is an NBA, longtime NBA reporter for ESPN. He put this out earlier tonight. Drummond started the game in a pair of Air Jordan 11 IEs, right? So that's what he was wearing. Then he decided to switch to a pair of LeBron 16 lows, and he had to leave the game and take off his right sneaker. Now he's got a wrap on his big toe. So he went back to the locker room. It was thought that maybe he can come out and play, but listen, the Lakers were down by 15. You know, it wasn't going to happen. It turns out his night was over. He had a right toe contusion. X-rays were negative. Okay, so what happened? Hold on to your hats. Again, this is not for the squeamish.
Yeah,
but according
I'm just
to
seeing it from Mark Medina.
Yeah. according to Dave McMenamin and Mark Medina, Andre Drummond said, This is like from a movie,
buddy,
when they torture somebody. Andre Drummond said his whole toenail was gone after Brook Lopez stepped on his right big toe sometime in the first quarter tonight. I can't even imagine that. Dude, one, drink more milk. Milk will help you, man. Milk helps bones. It helps your nails, helps everything. Drink milk. Milk, 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 milk.
Milk is for baby. Drink
that.
Beer.
Man. I mean, well. First of all, the big question is the toenail a fungible token? Like, is an NFT? Like, can we?
I think he could probably make a market on that.
All right, like
someone would pay for Andre Drummond's toenail. I have no doubt.
But could I pay for something with Andre Drummond's toenail? Like, what could I buy with Andre Drummond's toenail?
Look, if we go back to Barter Town, maybe you can.
Can I defray the cost of Francisco Lindor's contract with Andre Drummond's big toe?
Man. I think it might be a small fraction of that overall contract, but sure.
Yeah, but this whole NFT situation is out of control. Someone may give me $150 million for it, and I'll say, hey, Steve Cohen, here you go. Take this money.
The potential is there. I mean, I'm not going to say it's not. All it takes is one, right? Just like it only took one guy to give Francisco Lindor $341 million. It took one guy to take Andre Drummond's toenail.
Oh, my goodness. And here's the thing is I don't know how long this injury would keep Andre Drummond out for. I don't think it's very long. It would depend on, you know, is the toe infected and how long. And
what's his pain tolerance?
In it? Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, the pain tolerance is one thing. But, like, if it's infected, how long can he, you know, play on it safely without doing more damage to it? You know, and I can't believe it's that long. So it might only be a couple of days. You know, maybe they have to wait for a swelling to go down or whatever it is. And treat it, but I mean I gotta think it's not that long. I would hope. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. This is a question for Dr. Chow. But you know, I don't know that he gets that kind of question all the time. Hey, how long take you to come back from missing a toenail? I hope I never have to find that out because it's really, really painful. Apparently.
Well, I was gonna say for the show, if you wanted to do some experimentation, I'm sure you can get Fenley over there to hold a camera and narrate as you take one for the team.
Yeah, exactly.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you can get your podcast.
So this is the deal. So it shouldn't be very long for Andre. I just can't. Oh, I think of the toenail. I think what movie was it where they were pulling toenails off? Oh, God. Because I don't know why, but there's certain things I unfortunately have good visions of. And I just have visions of like being able to grab a nail and just pull it off.
There's actually a movie called Toenail.
Oh, is it really? Oh, wow, that's not, no. See, I was thinking more, he did it in The Fly. I think Goldblum did that in The Fly, right, when his body was changing, and he was, like, just pulling his nails off, going, oh, look at that. Like, I think he did it in The Fly, I'm pretty sure.
How about that?
Wow, that's
crazy.
A big reference.
Look
I haven't
you.
Referenced that movie in a long
time.
Well,
anytime you can get Goldblum into the mix, you've won.
That was Goldblum and Gina Davis, right, in The Fly? Yeah, okay.
Look at that.
So this is what's
Weren't
going on
Weren't they also together in Earth Girls Are Easy?
Oh, dude, I think I've only saw Earth Girls Are Easy maybe once. I don't know, maybe.
Let's see if I'm right.
Boy.
I think I'm right.
I would say.
Yeah, I'm right.
Okay.
Jeff Goldblum, Jim Carrey, and Damon Wayans.
Wow, very nice.
And Gina Davis.
88,
and
Earth Girls Are Easy?
And Julie Brown, 1988.
Which Julie Brown? Downtown Julie Brown or Miss Julie Brown?
The other Julie Brown.
Miss Julie, that's Miss Julie Brown.
Yes, Miss Julie Brown, the redhead.
Got it. Yes. Okay. I used to work with Downtown Julie Brown.
Wubba, wubba, wubba.
Do you want a great Downtown Julie Brown story? You want to go?
Sure,
I got a great Downtown
not?
Julie Brown story. Okay.
If you have a great one.
Oh, no. This is a great one. So when I worked with Julie Brown, she was really nice. And when she was on an NFL show on ESPN called Prime Monday. This is a stupid name for a show. Who calls it Prime Monday? Right. So it was Prime Monday, and it was a show. It was the pre-show on before the Monday Night Football game that ESPN had, but the game was on ABC. Tirico was the host, and he had, I think, Phil Simms was on it with him and a couple other people. But there was a round table. A part of it that had like Michael Wilbon and Skip Bayless and Mitch Albom. And it was kind of like the first iteration of First Take, right? Like, because they would debate sports topics. But Downtown Julie Brown was a correspondent on the show, and she would go do pieces, and, you know, they would throw to her in the studio, and then she would talk about, like, she went and interviewed Michael Irvin, and she would talk about her piece and everything else. So something happened one night, and I don't know what happened. I don't know what was going on, but there was a lot of tension on the set. And Julie Brown, I think I didn't like they kept making her move, and they made her change the shirt she was wearing because it wasn't showing up well on camera or anything else. And it was, I could tell she was getting mad. I'm like, why can't you just go on and do this? Why can't you do this? And because I'm stage managing, right? So I'm on the stage, and they're telling me, Jason, can you tell Julie to move? All right, Julie, move here. Can you tell Julie to move over there? Julie, can you move over there? And she's like, why do I keep moving? Julie, can you move over there? Julie's got to change her vest. Her vest doesn't look good. She goes, I've worn this on TV for MTV. ESPN is saying you can't wear it. So she takes her vest off, and she puts on a new shirt. And they go, that shirt's too bright. She can't do it. She goes, I'm doing it. And she takes her shirt off and has her vest on and says, let's just go. And they go, all right. And they go, all right, we're ready to go. You know what, Jason, can you have her stand next to Mike Tirico? And I go, oh my God, she's going to kill me. And I go, Julie, can you stand next to Mike Tirico? And she walks over, and she screams into my microphone, and she goes, I don't want to bleep and stand next to Mike. And everybody stops and they're staring at her, and she looks around and she goes, I'm just kidding. I don't care. Yeah, I'll go stand next to Mike.
Wow. All right, that's a good ending. Thought she ended up decking you or something.
She just grabbed my mic and go, I don't want to stand next to bleeping Mike. And I was like, and everybody was just silent.
What did Wilbon do?
I'm just kidding. Now, they were on the side. They were just talking to each other about what they wanted to do on the set. You know, what they were going to talk about later on. Yeah.
Well, because, you know, Wilbon's a proud Northwestern grad. Well as St. Ignatius College Prep, Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Very good.
We're connected.
The one thing I remember from those guys doing the show, this is like in the mid-90s, this show was. And Tirico, they would talk football, then he would throw to it, and it would be Mitch Albom, and it would be Skip Bayless and Michael Wilbon, and usually somebody else. Like, it would be Leslie Visser, or it would be somebody else would come in. And I'll never forget this, because this tells me, yeah, of course, you know, these guys were going to like to be a yak fest, is that they 1 week, whoever was supposed to be the fourth person couldn't make it. Like, they got snowed in somewhere and couldn't make it. So they did it with just the three of them, and it was Albom, and it was Skip, and it was Michael Wilbon. So, of course, when there's three people instead of four, you get to talk a little bit more. So after the show, the show was over, I could hear the producer say in their ears, go, hey guys, so things are done. Just want to let you know, I'm sorry we had to scramble around with this. How did you guys feel about just the three of you? Did you miss the fourth person? And they all just say, they couldn't say it fast enough. No, 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 it was good. Just the three of it. It was good. The three of us. It was good. Oh, no, 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 no. We didn't miss that fourth person at all. No, it was good. It was good. From then on, it was only three people. And it was only the three of them that were on the show.
Yeah. There you go.
Just right away. No, 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 no.
So the originator here, I'm going to take you back to Chicago for a moment. The sports writers on TV, Rick Tellender, Bill Gleason, Bill Jouse, Ben Bentley, smoking cigars. They'd have guys that would sub in on occasion, and then they'd have owners and players and front office folks and other, you know, media members kind of pop in. And it looked like they were having a poker game that they just put a camera in. Like a smoky room, terribly lit, like you were under the lights on NYPD Blue. Like, if I could get DVDs of those, I would sit and watch it. Because they'd just start screaming at each other. Clearly, they had beef with each other from some other discussion at a ballpark or something that would spill into the table. And it's like, all right, this is going to escalate. Eventually, they're going to be stepping over there where it looks like it's more well-lit for a fight. So it was kind of, the precursor of a lot of this fun stuff. So pretty cool. Mm.
Now, the whole thing with Drummond now, we get all from the, you know, the MTV to the,
no
the
toenail.
Toenail ripped off.
Yeah.
Here's the thing is with getting Andre Drummond, right? And look, say he's out of the lineup for a couple of games, it's going to be okay. How do I feel about the Lakers? I am confident that they can finish sixth in the Western Conference with Drummond, right? He's a big deal for them, right? Because, again, I don't care about the analytics. He's going to be a 17-13 guy. He will buy in and play defense and fit in for a short period of time. He's never thrived when he's been the guy, but he only has to be kind of the guy for a little bit until AD and LeBron come back. So that's really when he's going to show his true value. But the Lakers have shown that we can beat the bottom feeding teams, and with Drummond, we can maybe win a couple of more games. So they can finish sixth. And I would pencil them in for sixth right now in the West, which would keep them out of the first round play-in games. Because let's face it, even if they win, you got a couple of teams that are right on the Lakers' tail that are going to pass them because they're better for the next month, month and a half, as the Lakers are going to be without AD and LeBron, right? The Nuggets are coming, man. They're playing really, really well. So are the Blazers. They got a lot better at the trade deadline. So they're both going to pass the Lakers. You know, they could pass them the next couple of days, but do I see the Mavericks suddenly going on a tear or the Spurs? Then you get into teams that are 500 out of the playoffs. No, that's not going to happen. The Lakers are going to be able to sit right around six, and that's where I expect them to enter the playoffs as the sixth seed.
I like that. Your optimism. Hey, they're going to be sixth. Just wear it, Laker fans. No, it's fun theater because they got a seven-game road trip coming up. So now we get to see how long is Drummond going to be out, right? It's one of the subplots to what's going in. This was your acquisition. You got a little more offense from Kyle Kuzma, but they didn't have really enough in the second half here as we watched the Bucks pull away, even though it was great to see Giannis and his brothers all playing together today. But it's a tough road. I think you're being optimistic because you're also assuming those other two guys come back fast enough to stop the free fall, you know, the elevator dropping and waiting on Superman or somebody above with enough strength to pull the cable and stop it. I don't know that it's there. I don't know. I'm curious about LeBron James and how fast he's back in the lineup. Because, you know, I've been bearish on Anthony Davis's return all along. I'm hopeful. Right, I want the best theater possible, and that means they're healthy and ready to go. Right, we're gonna battle the Clippers, playoff rondos over on the other locker room, and all of that stuff, and it's gonna be fun. Everybody crying and moaning about super teams or whatever. Shut up and enjoy the basketball for crying out loud. I'm tired of it. It's like arms race here, there, whatever. I hope he's healthy. I hope he doesn't get an infection, and I hope the toe heals. Right, yeah. It's a much more grisly story than the shoes were uncomfortable. That was the early start of the game. It's like, all right, he changed uniforms. Why are the shoes suddenly a problem? Well, he had a 7-foot guy step on his toe and drag as they tried to separate to cause a very painful injury that most of you will lose at least one or two moments of peace in your evening thinking about the pain. And he said he's just happy that the x-ray came back negative. That's why he's a tougher man than I am.
I'd be out for the year or possibly the decade with a ripped off toenail. Yeah. He's day to day. Really, I'd be done for a while, man.
They're three and a half games ahead of the Mavericks, right? Mavericks have won two. It's going to be a tough task. It's going to be good. Like I said, the final 2 months of the regular season, or a month and a half at this point, because tomorrow is April Fool's Day, and we end on May 16th. You got a 6-week sprint, and trying to just hold off those other the all comers. It's going to be an interesting run. Hopefully they get healthy. I hope everybody gets healthy. Right, Embiid's supposed to play again on Saturday for the Sixers. Just looking across the NBA, you just want to give it a hug. Everybody, get back on the court. Let's have a real finish to the regular season and into the playoffs, please.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. If any Lakers fans has an extra toenail, Andre Drummond could use it. Maybe he can come back sooner. He is day-to-day.
What's it getting
after?
I don't have to be a Laker fan, but I'll give up a toenail if it's going to net me something.
Yeah, you get a thank you and a hearty handshake?
Yeah, no, that's
I don't know. I don't know.
I value my toenail more than that. I mean, as much as I want to be charitable, I mean, like, if there's some other bodily organ that he needs to live, It's one thing. But when it comes down to, hey, just comfort of your toe and getting you back on the court, they got 6 weeks to, you know, stave off elimination from the playoffs. See, I got
I'm first of the year,
stave off elimination.
I'm more hardcore than that. If one of my players on my team like needed an ACL, I would so give one of my dad's ACLs to them. I mean, he doesn't need it.
Yeah, that's what they want.
He can go play golf and ride around on a cart. He's fine. I'd give my dad's ACL.
Dude, you're taking him right out of the ability to be a marshal.
He doesn't.
I don't know that he can stand there that long without the other ACL.
While Francisco Lindor is a Met now for 10 years and $341 million, two of the big takeaways we've talked about tonight, when you have an owner who is willing to spend to make your team better, it changes the fortunes of your team faster than any quarterback, any star player out of the NBA draft can. And just look at the Mets and how they've been able to putter along under the Wilpons, who would always try to pinch pennies. Here comes Steve Cohen. We're making bold trades. We're making the Mets a destination. And it's worth its weight in gold. When you have a bad owner, you are absolutely stuck. And Steve Cohen is a good owner. They needed Lindor for the to be the franchise player for their identity, and this is just going to make the Mets even more relevant in Major League Baseball because you need an identity. They haven't had it since David Wright. This is a huge, huge day. But
I'm so excited.
Of course I'm excited, man. Look, Syracuse got me to opening day, and now we're good. Now, you know, Syracuse got me to a couple of nights ago, and now I got opening day, and I got Lindor, I got DeGrom. I'm good, man.
There you go.
Since we are ready for opening day, Mike and I have some big, bold predictions for you for the season. Going to kick it off right now. Number one, bold prediction. If the Yankees are struggling by June 1st, Aaron Boone is fired. There is no manager under more pressure than Aaron Boone. The Yankees play in a loaded division. They have underachieved, and it's all about the World Series, and Aaron Boone hasn't gotten there. The pressure is immense. They have the team to do it. Everybody is healthy. They have the pitching. If they're under 500 struggling, it's going to be somebody new managing that team on June 1st.
Ooh, I like that. How about this? Bold prediction. The at-bats we watch tomorrow from Mike Trout will not be the only meaningful at-bats of his 2021 season.
You're talking non-fantasy at-bats, right? You mean like he could be in the playoffs?
I'm talking that it's more than fantasy and folks saying how great he is. Like, all right, his team stinks. They actually break through, and Shohei Ohtani finally lives up to the hype.
I can't believe you really just said you don't. Who cares about fantasy? I mean, you're a fantasy. That's wow. You have turned your back.
For the purpose of what we're doing right now. For what we're doing right now. Look at you try to twist my words and put me in a deep, dark place. No. I want your flexes coming back. And I'll probably do some fantasy baseball rants along the way, too. But no, for the purpose of this conversation, we were talking fantasy. We were talking meaningful at bats from Major League Baseball. It's opening day and All-Star game. Otherwise, he's had nothing other than, hey, thrilling the kids.
Okay.
And there's got to be more than that.
All right, I'll give you another bold one.
Go ahead.
The pressure on Trevor Bauer after this contract is something he's not going to be ready for, because it was nice when he could enjoy the anonymity of just being a fun guy on social media. He had some dust-ups that didn't go well. Everything gets magnified 1,000 times on Trevor Bauer. He's going to be under pressure that he has never seen before. He will struggle. But it's not going to matter because the Dodgers are so incredibly loaded. Even if he's a 500 pitcher and his ERA is up over 4, it doesn't matter. But he is going to struggle this year because now he has stepped into a new stratosphere and he's going to struggle with that.
I like the way you think. I'm going to go to the Chicago Cubs. Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo will be playing elsewhere after the trade deadline.
But they're forever Cubs.
Not anymore. Forever was yesterday.
For Mike, I'm Jason. My buddy Ben Maller's next. Fox.